Ever had a habit that you know isn't good for you, but you have a hard time breaking it? Like ice cream every night, maybe, or certain words you find yourself saying without thinking, or staying up too late, or my personal favorite, frequently being late. We've all had these habits that we would love to change if we could. In 1991, A&W Root Beer ran this great ad that they actually ended up being sued over, and you cannot find the ad if you look it up today, but because my memory is weird, I remembered the ad, and I looked it up, and they had a number in this campaign, but this particular ad, they could not run. It was a close-up of this frothy mug of root beer. And into the frothy mug of root beer dipped this very neatly manicured hand. And then when the camera pulled back, it was Madge from the Palmolive ads, remember? You're soaking in it. And she just looks at her hand in the mug of root beer and says, "Why am I doing this?" Procter & Gamble ended up suing A&W over that particular ad because I guess they figured Madge, that character, was their property. And if you don't know who Madge was, she was a character in the same commercial for 26 years. 26 years playing a manicurist who would tell people they were soaking their fingers in Palmolive dishwashing liquid and it would make them soft and supple. And the message of Madge's hand in the A&W ad, besides selling frothy mugs of root beer, was that we all get into habits. And one of the habits that nearly all of us share together in our culture today is busyness. Busyness. I mean, think about it. It has become this kind of odd comment when you want someone to do something to say to them, "Well, I know how busy you are," right? I mean, how many times have we said that? How many times have we heard that? And what does that tell us about us? Maybe more than we might care to know. And that's why we're taking another look at Mary and Martha again today, because it takes time to break old habits and create new ones. So I don't think we looked at them that long ago, maybe in the past year. So we're going to come back. We're going to go back to Bethany to this famous encounter in Mary and Martha's home in Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Because when I went back there to look at it again, and by the way, this is where our scripture reading took us. As you know, you've been with us, that we're in this process of reading through the New Testament this year, and we're preaching from those places where we're reading, and this was one of those places. So here we go, Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. I also try to keep it tricky so that you won't necessarily guess where I'm going, although this one was probably easy enough. As Jesus, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Now, chances are we've all heard the same sermon on this pulpit, on this message, on this passage, from a pulpit somewhere near you. "Don't be Mary, be Martha." And some of us have probably had the same response in one way or another. Isn't it better to do something for Jesus rather than do nothing? Because really, our habit goes that deep, we automatically set up this false dichotomy in our thinking. Doing nothing, sitting at Jesus' feet, versus doing something, as if prayer and sitting at Jesus' feet is doing nothing. And if we're honest, we've all felt that way sometimes. We've felt that way, especially when there is a prayer that hasn't been answered and we're wondering why. And we also know that Jesus wants us to do things because there are so many needs that are crying out around us. So we just get up and get busy again. But when we do, chances are we miss something important. And the thing that we don't want to miss, and this is point one, is that good things happen at Jesus' feet. Just think about it for a moment. Just the picture of Jesus' feet and where you see it in Scripture. Just think of the woman wiping Jesus' feet with her hair, and she was lifted up by him as an example for future generations, right? Or the man with a demon-possessed son who knelt before him, and the son was set free, or Jairus, the synagogue leader, whose daughter was deathly ill and she was healed, or the leper who kneeled at Jesus' feet and he was healed, or the man possessed by a legion of demons and he is set free and really probably becomes like the first missionary, or Peter when he said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man," but Jesus, still wanted him to follow. In each instance, something good, something really good happens. So the question is, or is it better to be at Jesus' feet or to do stuff for him? And we see the answer in two places. I mean, of course, it's good to do stuff for Jesus. We'll get to that. But how and in what order? So the answer to that question, is it better to be at Jesus' feet? Just look in two places. In verse 40, Luke says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And again, I find it particularly funny that God would have me so busy before preaching this sermon, you know, with 10 new puppies in the home and getting distracted. And I was up at 4:45 checking on them and running back and forth. And it's been that way this week. It's been that way this week in such a way that with my quiet time as well. I mean, there have been a lot of other things. I actually flew up to Washington, D.C. to look at a car and bought it and drove it back. And I've been praying this whole time, but there have been times where I have just been going. And and yet this is where God led me to preach. So let that be a lesson to you as well. I mean, I know that I talk about prayer a lot, and we are all works in progress in this. So here's the second thing. It's an interesting statement. The preparations that had to be made, Luke puts that in. Martha was distracted by them. We've all been there, right? But, of course, the obvious answer, the second reason why it's important to be at Jesus' feet is what Jesus said in verse 42. Mary's chosen what is better. Mary's chosen what is better. And it will not be taken from her. Now let's go there for our second point with this question. Why? Why? Why did Mary choose what is better? What does that mean? And a clue, I think, comes from Martha herself. Just look at how she's responding to Jesus and to her own sister. Look at the question, "Lord, don't you care?" Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Ever get that way? Ever get that way with God? I mean, do you see how alone she feels and how far away she feels from Jesus? And Jesus isn't far from her. You see that by the way he says her name twice, Martha, Martha. It's this reassuring, quieting thing. But again, she feels at a distance from him. And isn't that what happens when we get distracted and busy? I mean, it's like swimming at the beach, and you go out at one point, and you've maybe been out in the water for a few minutes, and when you look back, you see you're at a different point than when you got in. And you want to get back to where you were. So Jesus seems farther away, and so do others. Look at her spirit in this, even accusing Jesus. Don't you care? It's another way of saying, how could you let this happen, God? And often, don't we go there when we get so busy? We interrupt the sermon with a shameless plug for tonight's prayer meeting. If you felt that way, distant from God, please come tonight, either online or in person at 7 p.m. Because if you miss this sermon again, and you come to me this week and say, James, I feel so far away from God, and you weren't at the prayer meeting, you will hear this sermon again. So tonight, please show up on Zoom or in person if you can. Again, we know you can't guilt people into prayer meetings. But the amazing thing is that you won't realize how much you need to be there until you come. So the reason we need to be at Jesus' feet is there is peace there and there is power we never knew. And his power can flow out of those moments into everything that we're about, changing things, giving us fresh insight, giving us new direction. And that brings us to this interesting thing about Martha being distracted by the preparations. If Martha had been with him first, the preparations she made would have been different. She was, again, I know I'm staying on that point, but distracted. Distracted from what? Distracted from Jesus. By all the preparations that, note, they had to be made. So he's not saying that they aren't important, that these things don't have to be done. But think about how if she had involved Jesus more in that process, what could have happened? Think about the time he fed the 5,000, or the time he fed the 4,000, or the time he made wine at a busy wedding. If she had met him in that place, you know, maybe everyone would have come and worked together. As Ben Patterson wrote about this passage, it isn't that God is against doing, it's that he wants us to understand that being always precedes doing, and that who we are with him is more important than what we do. I'm going to read that again. It isn't that God is against doing. It's that he wants us to understand that being always precedes doing, and that who we are with him is more important than what we do. And that brings us to the third point. And this is one that's not often talked about. At least I haven't heard it talked about much. But look at Jesus' words, it will not be taken from her. It will not be taken from her. those words show us something. First of all, they show us how much Mary's being at his feet means to him. I mean, it's almost like he's defending it, right? Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it, Martha. This is not going to be taken from her. Now, he says it more gently than that, Martha, Martha. But there is a strong intent behind those words that we need to hear. And I never thought about that before this week. So Jesus is defending the time Mary is taking to be quietly attentive to him, and that shows us how much God values our moments with him. Think of David's words in Psalm 139, "You are familiar with all my ways." In the Hebrew, the meaning is intimately familiar. It's like in the tenderest of ways. Someone who tenderly cares for us. And I think also what we have here is an implied promise that it is not only about Mary, it won't be taken from her, but I think it won't be taken from anyone else either. I think this is a promise that applies to us. What this is really about is God keeping us close. He wants us there. And just knowing that, you know, this is why we need to approach prayer, not from a legalistic standpoint, but from a relational standpoint. And I'm going to fix my microphone here because it keeps coming off, and I keep messing with it, and I'm sure that's a distraction. There we go. That's better. But think about that. God misses the time that we don't spend with him. And while we are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, as the old hymn says, still we are tenderly loved. And if we make the decision to get there by putting Jesus first, by being there attentively before him without doing anything else, by reading his word, listening, living in a relationship with him, in natural, unforced prayer, as we go through the day, if we decide we want to be there, he will help us stay there. Because he loves to have us there. Remember what it is that he called it? The one thing that is needed. The one thing that is needed. What does that mean? Well, let's wrap it up with this question. Do we want God to bless what we are doing, or do we want to do what God is blessing? Do we want God to bless what we are doing, or do we want to do what God is blessing? So often we live the first way, right? We get on a course of action and ask for God to help us, but if we learn this quiet attentiveness that Mary had, and by the way, that was a radical thing. There are other things as going on as well. You know, usually rabbis did not allow women to sit at their feet. And so again, this shows you how radical Jesus is. And it shows you the tenderness of God in accepting all, in overcoming our culture. He knows about our culture and how busy we are. But he's saying, come, come to me. And if we learn this, I really believe that things have a way of working out better. I think that's what he's showing us. This is the one thing that is needed, not just from the practical standpoint, from the relational standpoint. And if in our hearts we decide, you know, I want to go there, because it matters to him, it's not going to be taken from us either. I love that. And what this shows us is that prayer actually really is doing. And of course, God wants us to do other things. We must, but he wants us to be with him before anything else. To start at his feet and follow from there. And so let's just jump into life again as we're heading out into the world from here. Feet first. Feet first. His feet. May we pray. Lord, we want to be there at your feet. We want to see good things. Lord, bless us as we do. Help us to go there. Help us to be there. Thank you for what we will see. In Jesus' name.